Do I have to tell you?
You don't have to do anything. I'd like to know.
just like years ago, I was in a doctor's office, and you know, the nurse come out and she asked about how old you are, and so on and so forth, and your condition and all that. Then next to me was sitting a lady. She wasn't too old, but when the girl, I'm going to be 73 March the 10th.
All right, very good. What year did you arrive in America? Do you remember?
1914.
And what year did you come? Did you come straight to Pittsburgh?
Straight to Pittsburgh.
1914. And where did you come from? What country?
I came from Russia.
From Russia. Okay, very good.
And from that town where I came from was a small town. I don't think it was smaller. It was smaller than Oakland Avenue.
Oh, just a tiny state.
Tiny, just one street. And you'd be surprised how many members. We have an organization, Pliskova organization, if you will.
Yes.
Pliskova organization. And we have an organization, in Pittsburgh we have a big organization, besides some members don't belong.
Uh-huh.
Then we have a big organization in New York, a big organization in Cleveland, a big organization in Chicago, and big organization in St. Louis, in almost every state in the Union. We had some organization.
All from that one street?
All from that one street.
Well, I guess there were people lived around, like out in the country.
No, just from that little town.
They must have big families.
And now, you know, it comes up, you know, the children and grandchildren start to belong to that organization because we want to keep it up.
Uh-huh.
And we have a cemetery, too.
Is
our own
right?
Cemetery. And so we want the cemetery to be filled up. Not a way back. And when I left home, I wasn't quite 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, she didn't want me to go.
Why did you go, Mr. Rosen? Why did you leave your town?
Why? I don't know. I'll tell you the truth, you know. I went to America. My mind wasn't set. Just like a blank, you know. Mm-hmm. I was gone. So my mother begged me not to go. And I had two brothers here. They sent me what you call that time a shift card.
Mm-hmm.
So although they sent the shift card to a brother of mine, and he went to America, and they turned him back on account of he had a trachoma,
mm-hmm.
But we call it trachoma.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back. He came back, and when he came back, he was a little bit, he wanted to go to America so bad that he's supposed to go to a doctor to have it treated.
Mm-hmm.
He went for a little bit, and then he said he's treated.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back again, and he came to Ellis Island.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned him back. When they turned him back, and he still had the ticket, because he didn't get into America, and he had a ticket. My mother said, well, let's send it back. I was the only one in the family that could write Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to write letters for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote
your own letter.
My own words in it. And I said, I want to go on that ticket that you sent to Max.
Mm-hmm.
I got the ticket. And my mother was surprised. How come they send you the ticket? I said, mother, I don't know. Yeah, I was only about 16 at the time. I don't know. Okay, she said, no, let's go to a doctor in Pliskova. That was Pliskova. We didn't have any doctors to take care of us. So we went to a big city, Babdichev.
Mm-hmm.
And I was checked, and the doctor said that I had trachoma. Okay, so she sent me to, while we were in that big city, she bought me a beautiful coat with a fur collar, a fur hat, and galoshes. So I should stay at home. She wanted me to stay home. It was winter time, and I went out like everybody looked in that little town, you know, the way I was dressed up. Yeah. All the girls were after me. But I still had in mind America.
You just wanted to go because you wanted to see what it was like, to make a living, or just
no,
to, just,
no,
for,
just
for Benji, you're a young kid and you wanted to go.
That's it.
I see.
Finally, she decided all right for me to go. When my mother took me about, I would say about a one day ride from our town to another town, where I had to change trains. Mm-hmm. That was Kazatian, mm-hmm. if you heard of those cities. So when I was waiting for the train, and I fell asleep because I was tired. My mother told me that she started screaming and crying, and people come around because she couldn't wake me up. I was so tired. Then on my side, I woke up. Why? Because I dreamt that dogs were after me, and that woke me up. Mm-hmm. Finally, she started crying, Maya, if you go to America, you'll pass America. You know, in Europe, you know, you didn't know.
Oh, she thought you wouldn't find your way.
No, I'll pass America, mm-hmm. where will I be? Just like when I left our town, the people of our town, you know, they all came to say goodbye. This one says, Maya, give a grease to my children. Where is your children? In America. They must have been in New York.
You had two brothers here, you said.
I had two brothers, yeah.
They're in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh,
I see. Okay, how many brothers did you have all together?
I had three brothers, but let me tell you, in 1943, the Germans went into that town. And I'm surprised how did they can get in so fast to our town, because from Germany to our town you have to ride by train 6 days.
How many brothers did you have at the time that you left?
Three. That is three.
There was two here.
2 here and one in Blister.
And you were, so was that one plus yourself?
Yeah.
That was four boys.
Four
then.
Boys.
Who was older?
The oldest was my brother Joe, and he was the first one in America. Then he sent for my brother Morris.
Yeah.
He's in Florida now. And my brother Joe, I was in the army too, don't forget. When I was over in France, Paris, having a good time on Armistice Day, my brother was laying dead. He died from the first flu. He was 31 years old.
Well, the one in Europe, then you were the youngest in the family?
No, the one in Europe was the youngest. I was the fourth.
I see. And did you have any sisters?
Sisters, three sisters, that's what I said, three sisters.
Oh, and they were younger than you or older?
No, one was younger and the other two was older.
You were about 16 when you left, or 17?
Yes, ma'am.
16. Okay, what kind of a house did you live in there, Mr. Rosen? A big house, a little house?
Where?
A farm?
In here?
At
home. At home we lived in...
A stone house?
There were no stone houses there.
A wooden house?
One house, but we lived in a small house, and then my brother, the oldest brother, was supposed to come for a visit to our town. So he sent money to build a new room for us. So my mother built a special room with, we didn't have floors, wooden floors on
dirt floors.
Dirt floors. But she built one room for Joe to cover when he comes, it should be a floor room. Mm-hmm. A beautiful floor room. And finally he fell in love with a girl here that our uncle was after all too. So he was afraid to leave her.
What did your father do there? Did you go to
tailor?
He was a tailor. What languages did they speak in your home? Yiddish?
Yiddish.
Anything else? Russian?
Well, Russian, because we lived close to the Russian border, you know, like...
Yeah. What kind of schooling did you have in Europe? Did you go to
Europe,
a public school?
I went to Cheder. And as far as schools are concerned, in that time, we had to go to church, you know,
to a Catholic church,
to learn. But I and my family didn't want me to go to the Catholic church. So, and then it was far away, not too far, within walking distance. So, but I was educated from private teacher.
But for Russian.
Yeah. And then I was educated. I was the only one in the family that I was educated in Jewish. So I'm Jewish.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you learned that in Cheder.
Huh? In Cheder. And then I had a private tutor.
All right. Did they have a big shul in your town or a little shul?
We had three shuls.
On one street, you had three shuls.
And, one street, we had three shuls. We had a shul, what we call, then a bishmerwish, what you call, and then around here, nobody knows, we had a close.
Shul, bishmerwish,
and close.
Close. What is a close?
It's a shul too, but that's the name.
Okay, I'll just write close. Somebody else can translate it. How did you get along with the Gentiles in your area there? Was it very good?
My father was a latest tailor, mm-hmm. and he used to, in his young days, the way I understand, he was a latest tailor that he made nothing but dresses for the Jewish women to get married in. But then on old age, elderly time, he made clothes for the going, for the Gentile people. And then those...
Good business with them, in other words.
Yeah, so skirts and those jackets, you know, the flares, mm-hmm. nice. And they were pretty big women, you know, they didn't, you know, corset. So when he had to take a woman around to measure, he called my mother.
Because he didn't want to get in trouble.
My mother to, not in trouble, but he wouldn't touch him.
Yeah.
He called my mother to take the measure.
I see. Very good. In Europe, did you belong to any political organization? Were you too young, or did your parents belong, like the Zionist, the Bund, the Socialist Party?
Those days, there wasn't anything like that. I never heard of it. That is in my town.
In your town?
In my town, I never heard of that. But my father used to belong to a shul. He was a good Orthodox Jew, you know, with a beard. And so like talking about a beard, I'm going to tell you a little story.
Yes. How did the government treat the Jews in your country at that time?
Well, we had the Kaiser that time.
Oh, then this was actually not Russia, this was what, Austria?
No, it was Russia.
It was Russia.
We had the Kaiser that time.
Oh, and he was good to the Jews. Yeah.
He was good, but in certain big cities, like if you heard about Odessa,
yes.
Kiev, they used to have pogroms there, mm-hmm. very much, or the Jewish.
How about in your town?
In my town, no.
Did you have any trouble in your town?
No, no trouble at all, because they were all friendly to us at the going. Just like when they used to come for the jacket or for the skirt, they used to bring, besides paying the money, they used to bring dry prunes, pears, potatoes, gifts, mm-hmm. and with the money that the money they paid for the work. But still, they bought gifts.
Yeah. Now, what did you think about America at this time? Did you think it was a wonderful place, or do you have any thoughts about it at all?
Well, I don't know. I really don't. I was a blank.
You didn't think it was a land of opportunity, streets with gold, nothing like that?
Just like people you say, in America, you shovel You shovel money with a shovel.
Did you think that was true?
I never had any thoughts about that. Never had any thoughts. Now let's come to America.
Yeah, I got it. Why did you? I know why you left, and I know why you came to. You were on your way. You knew you were going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because your brothers were there.
That's right.
Okay. Did you travel all by yourself, or did you go with a group?
No, I traveled all by myself, and it's what I'm going to tell you. It's really a shame to tell you that. My father gave me 12. And then an old man was going to Pittsburgh too with me. So when I started off on the train, it was too hard to put on the 12. You know, so I didn't wear the 12 too. I'm not a Jewish man. That Jewish man was a Galician, from Galician. He was too glad to get this 12. So that old man said, I'm going to write to your father what you did, Maya, just like that. So, and I went on, finally, at a certain border, we separated. Mm-hmm. Because I was going to Hamburg, and he was going to another city in Germany.
I see.
And when we got to the border, we had to travel by night. Mm-hmm. We had to travel mud that deep.
You had to walk?
Walk, sure walk. Because we were like, we used to get a certain passport that you could go by train.
Mm-hmm.
But I was closer to 17. In those days, you know, 17, they wouldn't let you up because the army is going to take you soon. So I was traveling by night with women, small children.
So they wouldn't catch you?
So they wouldn't catch us. Although everything we had, an agent, everything was fixed up on this side and everything was fixed up on the other side with the troopers.
You mean there was some sort of underground who got you?
That's right, that's right. He was an agent and he took that part of. On this side there was troopers, and on this side, but they were both Russian troopers.
I see.
And we passed those troopers, you know, friendly, we got into a house, and the man says, well, you give me your shift card, give me your money, give me everything, because in case anybody comes in to ask questions, you haven't got nothing on you. Mm. As much as I didn't have that much sense of something, but I was skeptical of giving all that, because the man I didn't know and I was hesitating. Finally, the agent that was connected with the agent from Europe, you know, and we were already over the border, mm-hmm. He came in, he said, you give everything, and it's going to be safe, you sleep over here, and then in the morning you get it, and I'll put you on the train to go to Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I gave it. And the next morning was just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these old men that came with me, they were already they were already inducted.
In the army?
In the army.
Oh, you mean they were running away from the army?
Yeah. They were already inducted in the army. But they gave them 30 days to come home to fix up their affairs and everything else. So during those 30 days,
they took off.
They took off.
And when you, I understand how you got there now. Now, when you came to America, who met you? Did somebody meet you at the boat?
Now, when I came to America, I came to Philadelphia. Although...
Your boat came into Philadelphia instead of New York?
Whose boat?
Your boat, where did your boat dock?
Oh, the boat, yeah.
In New York?
No,
in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Did somebody meet you there?
Wait, so before I hit Philadelphia, you know, I was a kid and just my mind was, and they told me not to cry, because if you cry, your eyes get red, and the doctor checks everything. So one fella came with from a big city, a desk, and he was kind of like, not a bum, but, and he started at me, and I was only a, I called myself a kid those days. You were a kid.
Sure.
So he started at me, and I couldn't. I cried.
Yeah.
I cried, and some fella walked over to me and says, "Well, you don't cry, because you'll have to be examined before you leave the boat. And if anything, they see you ahead or anything, they might keep you back." So, and then when I started talking to him, he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "To Pittsburgh." He says, and he was an army man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "I was in America and I lived in Pittsburgh. I'll take you where you go." I say, he said, "Where are you going?" I say, "Bedford Avenue, 17, 18 Bedford Avenue." He said, "I live 200 Bedford Avenue." He said, "Don't worry at all." So when we got to Philadelphia, and a lot of people were standing waiting for relations. So I thought, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, they said the same. Yeah. And I was looking, and I was disappointed. I didn't see my brother Joe there. I thought it just a jump over. So I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
I looked around, and when I went over, and that was the Kessel Garden.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked over to get ready to leave or so, they called me over to the office and they say, "You got any money on you?" I say, "No." "You got anybody to take you in, your relations?" I say, "No." "Well, you can't. You can't, and you can't leave this place.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have $50. So I gave my brother's address and I told him. So they sent a telegram. Within 2 hours, they called me and say, "You're free to go."
Mm-hmm.
So I left with that fella. I was already attached to that fella, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he rode all night. When we got to B&O station, I still didn't see anybody waiting for me. So he said, "Don't worry, I'll take you." And we walked from the B&O station to 5th and Smithfield for 85 streetcar.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was walking down the corner, and one boy about, he would be about 8 years old, and he signed papers. And he just came to this country about a year ago. He said, "Ma, what are you doing here?" I was carrying my bundle, and I seen him, I was so glad. He says, "Ma, if you wait a little bit, I'll take you over."
Mm-hmm.
So the fella told him, the one that they, he says, "I'll take him," but he didn't trust him. He said, "Yes, he spoke English. "Yes, I live in Bedford Avenue, and there where he goes." So he took me over, and when I walked, he said, "There it is." When I walked off, and across the street was where my brother lived, I see two women hanging out the window,
mm-hmm.
watching from me. And I walked over, that's my sister alone, and a cousin that came from Richmond, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
to visit me. And I come in, and I come, my sister says, "Where's Joe? Where's Morris?" "I don't know." Instead of going to B&O station, they went to Pennsylvania station.
And they were waiting for you.
And they were waiting for me there. Finally, my brother called. And my sister told him, "Maya's here. How did it come?" So this was it.
That was where you got here. Is your name the same as it was in Europe?
No. My name was, and like my wife is still nagging at me. Why didn't you change to your right name? My name was a nice, easy name.
What
name? Kulik.
And you changed to Rosen?
No, I didn't change. That's where I got my ticket. And my brothers changed it here because we had an uncle by the name of Rosen, and he was original Rosen, so they...
So you just let it go like that?
Yes, I let it go like that, but my wife kept on nagging at me, so I told her, when I come back from the army, I wasn't a citizen, I was a citizen, mm-hmm. American citizen either when I went to the army.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come back, so somebody suggested for me to change when I go for my citizen papers. So I figured this way. The army has my records, Washington, D.C. All those friends, you know, mm-hmm. that I made acquaintance in the army, and I didn't feel like
it was just too much trouble.
Not only trouble, it was easy.
Been confusing.
Been confusing with that because in Washington D.C. they have my records since I left for the army, and they keep those records.
I understand.
So I said no. So that was my name that way.
Yeah. Did you bring any special papers or something with you when you came to America? Besides the ship ticket,
no.
Special papers or
no.
Nothing?
No,
any special souvenirs from home?
No. The only souvenir I took with me was a salami with garlic, so I shouldn't get seasick. I shouldn't get seasick, that's what they told me, you know.
Uh-huh.
A garlic salami, you know, that's good. You know.
Yeah.
I was in the army, and I was telling there was three brothers, one a sergeant, one lieutenant and one a colonel. So they wanted me with them all the time because I went in the infantry,
mm-hmm.
but they found out that I'm a tailor. I was a tailor by trade.
Mm-hmm.
They found out that I'm a tailor, so they took me in their department because they were shoemen, and shoemen, clothing, hats, caps, socks, everything went in that department. We called ourselves the service department, the quartermaster.
I see.
So they always wanted to take me with them. So I met a lot of those boys. So when I went into the army, you know, I lied about my age. I was already past 20, but I said I was 20 years old. So they took me in.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, those years, First World War, they only took in 21 to 45.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, 21 to 45. And that army was, it's amazing what kind of army it was. They took you, they didn't care whether you're a citizen, whether you're anything, but they took you. Like, for instance, there was a fella, a Russian fella, not Jewish, a Russian.
What first impressed you when you came to America? What was your first impression of America and your first impression of Pittsburgh?
First impression was, like, if anybody would come not to America, it would impress him, the things in 55 years.
Mm-hmm.
It would impress him certain things. But those days was regular, you know, like when I wanted to go to work. My brother said, take your time. I said, no, I want to go to work. So he took me down to a tailor, and I started, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they took me $6 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock in the evening. And Saturday I worked from 7 in the morning till 10 in the evening. All for $6. I used to catch the streetcar near Kaufman and Bears,
uh-huh.
if you remember Kaufman and Bears, on the 85 car. So one time I walked over to get the 85 car.
Mm-hmm.
It missed. So when it missed, how green I was, when it missed, I kept on running right after the streetcar. There wasn't much traffic. I kept on running till Wiley and 6th Avenue, if you know those places.
Not too well.
Wiley and 6th downtown.
Yeah.
And stopped, and I kept on running, and she started as soon as I, you know, I ran up Wiley Avenue all the way, you don't remember those, you don't know those streets, to Fulton Street. Fulton Street, as soon as I hit Fulton Street, she left again
mm-hmm.
on Fulton Street and hit Bedford Avenue. Bedford Avenue was a little slope going up, and it was slow, so I jumped up on the back of there because it was an open car those days. I jumped up in the back of the streetcar, and I'm gone, and I only rode two blocks, and then when they stopped at Cassis Street and Bedford Avenue near my house, so I jumped off. And I started to walk away, the conductor ran after me and made me 5 cents.
So what was your first impression when you came to the United States, that it was big, that it was nothing special? Or?
It was, to me, it was nothing special. It was big, but it was nothing special to me. Like, I lived on Bedford Avenue.
I mean, how did it contrast when from Europe? Did you think that it was nicer in Europe or less than Europe?
No, it was nicer than Europe because I lived in a small town. If I would have been living in Babdichev, Adès, Kiev, it wouldn't be any different because